This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker. This week I have a chat with Brawley Darbin and Sam Delaney about various West Ham related topics before playing a voice note recording from X and with the help of Mark Carlaw answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. Hello everyone, I hope you're all keeping well. There's never a dull moment with this football club of ours, is there? Let's get some pals on the show to get their thoughts, starting with the host of the West Ham Way USA podcast, Brawley Darbin. Brawley, how you doing, pal?
I'm doing very well, Dave. It's good to talk to you again. It's been a little while since, I think the last time we spoke was at Crystal Palace away, so it's good to finally catch up.
As X would say, I don't remember a hell of a lot from Crystal Palace away, so you probably remember more than I do, but I remember that we spent some time together as well. But yeah, it's amazing how time flies. It really is, and it's well overdue us jumping on the same podcast as well. And thank you for your time, mate. I'm looking forward to having a chat with you and getting some of your thoughts on, once again, what seems to be a bit of a turbulent time for West Ham, because quite a lot of fans are getting restless with the lack of signing so far. Others are a bit more relaxed and trust the process. Which side of the fence are you on?
To be honest, I probably lay somewhere in the middle of that. It is a bit alarming that we are the only Premier League club to not sign a senior player yet. Mm-hmm. That is a bit alarming, but I'm not panicked just yet. I mean, there's still time in the window. I mean, the season starts in, 10 days now, something like that, maybe a little bit longer than that. So I am getting a bit concerned that that we haven't brought anyone in yet. It's starting to feel kind of like the January window of a season and a half ago, where we really had a shot to push towards the Champions League places, and at least in the Europa League places, and where it seems like we're sitting on our hands or we're not really urgent to get anything done, and then we ended up signing nobody. I mean, if we end up signing no one, that'll be an absolute disaster. but I do think we will bring players in, and I do think that by the end of the window, I'm optimistic that we'll be at least satisfied with the business that we've done.
I mean, I'd say that I pretty much agree with you in terms of how I feel on the timings of it. It's not as if there's one day left of the transfer window, but my biggest concern is this merry-go-round that seems to be in the office at West Ham that even involves some sort of a voting system on targets. I mean, I don't know how much you know about that, but my biggest concern really is not that we haven't signed anyone, it's why we haven't. And I just think that there's serious politics involved and possibly too many chefs in the kitchen that is causing a delay too. What is arguably our most important transfer window in recent history. So that's my biggest concern. What do you make of the whole dynamic, really, between David Sullivan, David Moyes, Tim Stuyton, Rob Newman, who's still there? I don't know what he's doing with his time, by the way. But it's a bit baffling and surely a little bit counterproductive, no?
Yeah, it's alarming. My point on my show that I did, we had myself, Nick, and Tony Clark on our most recent show, And my major point that I made is, what is the point of David Moyes still being in the job if you're not going to bring in the players that he wants? There's no point to him being here. He either needs to be gone or you need to back him. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no in-betweens. And if the manager wants the likes of James Ward-Prowse, Harry Maguire, and Scott McTominay, you have to at least negotiate to a point where you're offering a reasonable amount, not just laughable amounts, as we have seemingly so far for the three of them. And whilst I wouldn't be over the moon with any one of those signings, I mean, James Ward-Prowse, actually, I would be, at least excited about. I think he's someone that under David Moyes will thrive, and you'll see the best of a guy like James Ward-Prowse under a David Moyes system. But if we're not going to bring them in, and we're going to bring in the guys to Stuyten once or Sullivan once, what's the point of him being here? If it's only to save a pound note because you don't want to pay him off early, then that's a joke. If it's because he disagrees with the philosophy of the other two, then why is he still there in the job? Just sack him and be done with it. Shake hands and part ways. I just don't understand the logic. I have a bit of, I wouldn't say a bit of a theory. I just have this idea that, David Sullivan thinks that Moyes can get us through the season under the players that him and Stuyten bring in, and he'll be good enough to keep us up. He doesn't have to pay him off early. We'll finish, 14th again, 13th again, be all right. And then Stuyten brings in a manager like Xabi Alonso from Leverkusen, and I think he's looking to bring in the next manager personally. That's what I think. And the power struggle is a joke. I just think it's baffling. It's our transfer system has always been kind of a joke to me. I don't understand the scattergun approach, and we've had long conversations with X about it, and it's alarming. And this little four-man voting system for the players is just kind of laughable to me. I don't know about what you think.
I just think this football club never ceases to amaze me. I mean, look, credit where credit's due. When it comes to the Declan Rice negotiations, I think David Sullivan smashed it. I think to get the money that he did on the terms that he wanted, he did very well. But that's as far as I can credit him now. I genuinely feel, and I felt like this for a while, that David Sullivan is the problem, and he is holding this football club back. And yes, on the back of winning the European trophy, David Moyes kept his job. But it's like you're saying, why? Like, either back him or sack him. You know, if you're going to keep him in the job, first and foremost, give him a contract extension, because keeping him on 1 year doesn't show any faith or any belief in him whatsoever. And then I don't know what discussions had taken place in the arrival of Tim Stuyten, whether David Moyes was happy with it, whether he wanted it, whether he had a say in it. I don't know. But you've just got the most illogical setup there. And I'm sure that there are Conference League clubs with a more logical strategy when it comes to transfers than West Ham. If you're going to keep David Moyes in the job, then you've got to trust the process with David Moyes. That means whatever players he wants to make his system work, you have to back him and you have to bring those players in. If Tim Stuyten is saying, well, I think there's better players out there, and David Sullivan's in agreement with that, then he's giving David Moyes players that ain't going to fit into his system. Then before you know it, we've got another Sebastian Allaire on our hands that is a great player, but isn't playing the way that David Moyes wants to play. And I've got to be honest, everyone knows how I feel about David Moyes. I love the fella, but I think he should have gone quite a while ago at West Ham. I can't help but feel really sorry for him, because I think he's in a no-win situation. If he has to sign players that he doesn't believe can deliver what he wants those players to deliver, then he's on a hiding to nothing, and he'll probably get sacked and lose his job, and then lose his bit of credibility when it comes to finding a job elsewhere. And then if it does work out for him, then Tim Stuyten's going to get all the credit for the recruitment. And when it comes down to this voting system, I've got to be honest, Brawley, I think we're on the same page with this. If you're David Moyes, would you be tempted to walk? Do you think it's that bad?
If I were David Moyes, possibly if I'm that offended by what's been going on, I just don't know really what I would like to know really what David Moyes thinks of all of this. And I know he's going to give straight, media trained answers most likely, but I think you can read between the lines a bit. Was it after the last Australian game? I'm not sure maybe it was before the Rennes game. I'm not sure. But David Moyes kind of was starting to already pull out excuses saying, oh, well, we've been in Australia and the senior boys haven't been able to get with the first team. And, you know, you can tell he wasn't happy about the Australia trip. And he says, we've got bids in for loads of players, but not sure what's going to happen. And you can kind of read between the lines that I don't think he's very happy about it. You know, if I were David Moyes, would I consider walking? Yeah, possibly. If I was that put off by the system, if I felt like I'm being that undermined, but that would be playing right into David Sullivan's hand, I think, in the fact that if he walks, he doesn't have to pay him off. And I'm sure David Moyes, you know, would want every bit of money that he can get. Although that being said, his stock's probably never been higher, after a trophy winning season. Although we did finish 14th, he won his first piece of silverware. So I have no doubt that he would land another Premier League job if he were to leave us tomorrow. So, I'm not sure. It just all depends on how far he thinks he's being undermined, really. And if I mean maybe, you know, if they don't bring in any players or any of his players by what's the end of the window, the 30th of August, maybe you do say, you know what, enough's enough and I'm out of here. But we'll see what happens in the next month. I think we've got about a month to really see how this plays out.
It's just so much unwanted negativity all the time. But why is it, Ham fans, we can't just enjoy a bit of positivity with some longevity? Do you know what I mean? We've just won a European trophy. We're all buzzing. And now we get handed this shit sandwich that there's so many politics involved with signing players that we desperately need on the back of losing our best player and our captain. It's just the West Ham way, isn't it? Really? I mean, I don't know. I feel a bit of a loss of it at the moment. Like I say, we've got time on our side, but I just don't know how this resolves itself. And again, you look at the dynamics of transfer discussions. I'm old school in the sense that I believe the manager should control everything. And if Tim Stuyten's come in, I think Tim should be working for David Moyes, not with him or above him. I think he has to come in and say, right, David, I've got vast knowledge of the European market. Tell me what players you need and why, and I will go and find those players. Not, I have a vast European knowledge of the market, and I reckon that these players are top quality players that could develop into really, really top quality Premier League players. Try and make them work. It shouldn't work like that at all. And like I alluded to earlier, Rob Newman, what's his purpose at West Ham now? You know, is he being undermined? Is there, like I say, too many chefs in the kitchen? Yeah. And then, of course, you've got David Sullivan. What is the right answer if you're David Sullivan? Does he go with Tim Stuyten potentially uncovering diamonds in the rough to then sign for $5 million and later sell for £40 million, but then run the risk that they won't perform in David Moyes' system? Or do they go with what David Moyes wants, which, from my understanding, is more of a British core, Premier League experienced players that are more likely to bring success to West Ham in the short term in terms of results, because he'll have those players that he believes can deliver against it. And then what's Rob Newman doing amidst all these conversations? Where does David Sullivan go with it? And he probably doesn't even know himself, which is why he's brought in this fucking ludicrous idea of voting. And let's say it's, you know, 3-1 against David Moyes. How dejected do you feel about that? And I would not be surprised if he walked. I really wouldn't. Because if I was him, I'd be very tempted to.
I think they're really setting him up to fail this season if they don't bring in the guys that he wants. What's the point? I mean, if you just want him to go, then you have to. I mean, what's it going to cost to sack him? Surely it can't cost that much to sack him at this point.
No, I don't think so.
But I think that's got to be the only reason you're hanging on to him if you're not going to bring him in the players that he wants. I mean, and then they'll say, oh yeah, we tried, David. Sorry, we tried. We put in all these bids. You know, 20 mil for Maguire, 20 mil for James Ward-Prowse. You know, 30 mil for McTominay. Like, and you know those numbers aren't going to get you anywhere near what's actually going to get you the player. Now, I'm not saying Harry Maguire's worth £50 million at all. If I'm David Sullivan, I would say, hell no, I'm not paying £50 million for Harry Maguire. At the same time, you have to do your damnedest to try to get him in at a reasonable price and do everything that the manager wants. And then you're right. I'm in the same school of thinking as you. If Stuyten was brought in, he should be working for David Moyes and have a list of alternative targets that are similar to a Harry Maguire that you can bring in as a list of alternatives. You know what I mean? So yeah. I go back to the fact of like, why is he still here? If you're not going to give him the players that he wants, you're setting him up to fail. And I would be shocked if he lasts past October, November, December time, if I'm honest. And again, it's hard to say now because the transfer window is still open. So I don't know what is going to be brought in. So it's hard to give any predictions on the season until you know what players that we actually have. But if it stays like this, or we bring him one of his players and, you know, three of Stuyten type players, I don't see him lasting past, you know, fall, maybe early winter. But that's just me. And it wouldn't be on David Moyes really, because you're not bringing them in the players that he wants. So it's a bit of a conundrum that they've got there. But just again, why is he still here then? That's what it all comes back to.
It does. You're spot on, mate. I absolutely agree. Well, let's just pretend for one second that we are actually run properly, like a proper professional football club. And you've heard the list of targets that we have been linked with. X, you know, reveals who they are every single week on this show. Out of all the names that you've heard us linked with, who do you hope we get over the line?
I think I said it earlier, James Ward-Prowse for me is the one. Again, if David Moyes is the manager, that's the guy that I want, that I think makes us a better team going forward. You even saw in the, I don't know if, did you get to see any of the Ren game yesterday?
I didn't actually.
So we scored from a set piece, shocker. So the one goal that we scored was from a corner. And you can see we're still very reliant on set plays to create chances. I think Paquetá had a great game. But I think if you bring in a James Ward-Prowse for all of those corners and free kicks and penalties, I think that makes you a better side. And whilst he's not a Scamacca, he's not a Paquetá, I think a James Ward-Prowse makes a David Moyes team a much better team, especially with no Declan Rice in the fold. So that would be the one that of all the names that I've heard us linked with, that I would be most tempted to bring in. Now, you know, you look at like what's the guy from Man City we're about to sign, the kid, Borges?
Yes, Borges, I think, yeah.
And that's surely not a David Moyes signing. There's no way David Moyes wants that kind of player. It's shocking to me that we're willing to pay £14 million for a kid who I've never heard of. And but we won't do, you know, the £30 million for the proven James Ward-Prowse, who's you know, been tearing up the Premier League for 3, 4, 5 years now. So I'm just baffled at the strategy right now. And again, I think it comes down to Sullivan trusting Stuyten more than he trusts Moyes, which is kind of backwards to me. But a long way around. I'm rambling. James Ward-Prowse is a guy that I want more than anyone at this point.
It's interesting because this isn't any form of ITK news or anything like that. It's just my opinion when I break it down and I look at the type of transfers that I think David Moyes wants. So not Tim Stuyten, but David Moyes.
Yeah.
And I look at it and I think we're quite weak in the fullback areas, even though Emerson actually towards the end of last season grew surprisingly in that left back role, even though I think he's traditionally a left wing back. But I do think that our fullback areas are quite weak. And I think looking at it, the way this could work and possibly the way David Moyes is thinking is he could go to a potential back three. So if you added Harry Maguire alongside Zouma and Aguerd as a central back three, that's a solid back three pair in that. I think the one concern that seems to be over James Ward-Prowse is possibly his mobility. He's not necessarily the quickest and most agile. But then if you stuck a Scott McTominay just in front of that back three who did all the running for Ward-Prowse and Paquetá, that would free Ward-Prowse up to do what he does best, which is passing. He's got good vision, good range of passing, and obviously be there for set pieces. And then obviously Lucas would have more of a free license to get forward then as well. So that makes total sense. So when you look at the free signings that I would imagine David Moyes has tabled, that is the kind of approach that I think he would take tactically. And I could 100%. be wrong. But that would make sense, because then obviously you're also alleviating the issue that you potentially need new fullbacks. You wouldn't need new fullbacks if you brought in a Harry Maguire to sit in the central back three with a Scott McTominay doing all the running, giving free license to the central midfielders. So I'd be happy with any of those signings. I echo what X says on this show. You know, if you've played for Man United consistently and represented your country, you're no mug and you're probably good enough to play for West Ham. My biggest problem when you look at Harry Maguire is how much motivation is there from Harry to come to West Ham, to leave Man United. What's the real hunger and motivation for him to drop to West Ham? That's my only concern.
I think the motivation is to get out of the spotlight a bit, because there's no more pressure you can be under than playing at Manchester United in England. I don't think there's any more pressure you can face. And especially when you play so consistently for England as well. I mean, those are probably the two most pressure ridden, jobs in the world, is playing for Man United in England with the English media. So I think, there is motivation for him. If he's not going to be playing at Man United, we still offer European football. The wages, you're probably going to take a bit of a pay cut, but I would think if you're Harry Maguire and you want to resurrect your career, West Ham, there's no better place to go than West Ham. There's no pressure on you from, you know, the English press, and you can, play in Europa League football and prove that you still got it. And you're not just, a calamity waiting to happen. I think it makes all the sense in the world from Harry Maguire. I mean, we'd have to ask him if he'd be willing to, you know, take a pay cut and come down to London. But, I think you either come to a West Ham where you're still playing in European football and you'd be guaranteed starts week in, week out. Or if you're Harry Maguire, you got to get out of the country and go play in Italy or Spain or Germany or something, and then really get out of the spotlight. Because then, we rarely ever hear of the English players outside of, you know, England playing in Italy and Germany. So that for me is where what would make most sense for him. And I think personally, he would be motivated to play for us as long as he is getting the game time that he thinks he should be getting. And I think we would give it to him. I think we'd start him every single week. I think we would play a back three as long as a Gerrard and Zouma are fit. And that's a damn good back three, if you ask me.
Yeah, it is, without question. I mean, the one player that we haven't kind of broken down as such, and it is a name that keeps coming up and also divides opinion amongst the West Ham fan base, is Scott McTominay. Mm. How do you feel about him?
I don't know what to make about him, if I'm honest. I said last week I was going to do a bit more research on him. But I go right back to what you just said, is if you're playing regularly for your country and playing regularly for Man United, you can't be a shit player. I mean, there's got to be more than just a bang average player there that, you know, West Ham fans seem to think that he is. And to be honest, I kind of thought that as well, because, you know, he just doesn't do anything. I don't think he does anything really sexy, that, you know, he doesn't dribble like, you know, Declan Rice does. But I think he does do more of the gritty work that Declan did, cleaning up the messes in behind, defending set pieces, defending right in front of that back four, back five. I think he's pretty good at that, from what I understand. And to be honest, that's kind of what we need. I don't think you can replace Declan with one player. I think you replace him with a defensive player like Declan Rice and more of an attacking midfielder like James Ward-Prowse. And that's kind of how you bridge the gap between Declan and, new signings. I think those two would actually be pretty good. So I think I really do want Scott McTominay. Again, I don't want to be, absolutely spending half of our budget on McTominay, I don't think. But if you can get him for a reasonable amount, you know, 30 to 35, I think is probably a fair amount in my head. Then you go and get him. If it's going to cost you 50, I maybe not, but it's not my money, so I really don't give a shit. But I just think that, again, if David Moyes wants these guys, you have to do everything you can to be getting them in. Otherwise, what's the point in him being here?
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And, you know, a lot of people are talking about spending the Declan Rice money. You know, that should be in addition to what David Sullivan was going to give David Moyes to spend anyway. You 100%. Know, I would like to think that, you know, if you look at the Declan Rice money of 105, yes, it's paid over a certain amount of time, but if you take that bulk figure, you know, I'd like to think at least we'd add 50 to 60 to that. So in theory, we should have another 160, 170 million to spend. So therefore, realistically, those targets David Moyes wants, I think that would cover that. But again, you know, we've just got this circus act upstairs that just seems to be doing more harm than good. And I can't help but think that they're holding us back. And this is my biggest concern. But I talk about concerns. You're a positive fella, Brawl. I mean, how optimistic are you about the new season?
To be honest, I think I didn't do a prediction on my show yet, but I think even with the players that we've got, even if we didn't bring in anyone, this squad should be good enough to not be anywhere near the relegation part of the table. So, I mean, that's what, and maybe that is me being optimistic and blindly optimistic, but I've seen other fans saying, if we signed McTominay and Ward-Prowse, we're getting relegated. You know what I mean? Like, such drastic opinions. I think even if we didn't sign anyone personally, the squad's good enough to stay in the Premier League, probably finish, 12th, right around there, just slightly upper bottom half of the table. I think we don't need another transfer window like last summer where we brought in 7 players. I think we bring in 3 or 4, maybe one for the future in Borges, and then the 3 that we just talked about, or somewhat 3 players like that. I think that's a pretty good window. I don't think we really need a striker if Skamaka, Ings, and Antonio all stay. Even if Antonio goes, I still don't think we need to bring in a striker.
Mbama as well, Broly.
Exactly. I want Mbama to be given more of a chance this year, especially in the cup games and Europe probably. So I don't think we need a striker. I do think, a left back, possibly, even if we bring in Maguire, possibly still a left back to play behind Emerson. And, it sounds like more like Crespo staying now, so maybe not. But I think those 3 players, a central defender and a couple of midfielders, I think we'll be pushing right for that top 8 again. And that's possibly me being too optimistic, but I really think that we're good enough to, as it stands, to avoid a relegation battle. And I think if we bring in the right players, we have every right to push for another Conference League finish. I really do. I think 6th is probably a bit rich, but that top 7, top 8, I think is where we need to be targeting, and we need to qualify for Europe through the league this year. And it'd be great if we could qualify for the Champions League through the Europa League and win it. I don't think I'm there yet. We'll see what we bring in, but I do think we still have a squad deep enough to push for, a quarterfinal at least in Europe, and then push for the Conference League places in the Premier League. I really do.
Well, Broly, it's been lovely speaking to you, mate, and thank you for coming on.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Thank you, Dave, and best of luck to you for this upcoming season, and best of luck in the Predictions League this year, because I'm coming back for you.
You've got no chance, son.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's go to Sam Delaney from the U-Irons podcast. Sam, are you into pre-season games? Do they do anything for you? Can you take much from them?
I don't think you can learn much from them. I've been to a few over the years, but only out of sheer boredom. You know what it's like. Yeah. So you go out of your mind with West Ham withdrawal. So you end up driving out somewhere, St Albans or Reading or Borehamwood or wherever it might be. You have high hopes of seeing new signings in action. You never get to see them. And it's just, it's a bore-a-thon, but it's something to do, isn't it, in the off season. I don't really watch cricket, to be honest.
No, you and me both, mate. You and me both. Oh God, that is funny. Well, I know you've been away for a week and I hope you had a good time. Not much has happened really, Sam, in the world of West Ham, which subsequently creates a lot that's happened in terms of speculation, drama, crisis, some people are calling it. And I was just talking to Brawley about the state of our transfer strategy at the moment. What do you make of it?
Well, I think, you know, clearly there's no smoke without fire, and all of these stories about a transfer committee and the frustrations and conflicts behind the scenes, particularly between this Tim Stuyton and David Moyes. You know, at first I thought, well, this is just gossip, but it's been coming from some very reliable sources now. There's a great piece by Jacob Steinberg, and I always sort of think, you know, I know X really respects him as a sort of a source as well. And I thought to myself, this really is a mess. Sullivan should have seen it coming. And it needs sorting, because this is a disastrous summer. And to be honest, you know, if you look at any success West Ham have had over the years, the biggest criticism has always been a failure to build on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in 86, with the summer after that, we didn't really invest in a squad that had come so close to winning the league the year before. We might maybe needed a couple of additions and we could have had a real good push. And instead, we found ourselves almost immediately in a relegation struggle. Same thing happened after we got to the cup final in 2006. You know, there was a... I think that was the summer we did get Tevez and Mascherano in, but that was a bit of a kind of kick bollock and scramble out of the blue transfer. There wasn't much of a strategy, and we almost went down that year. And I just feel this has similar vibes. You know, we've won a trophy for the first time in all those years, and it felt like, you know, yeah, we knew Rice was going, but with 105 million to invest, plus all the players we bought last summer were finally looking like they might have come to fruition after a year of, you know, trying to acclimatise. I thought at the beginning of summer, this could be good even without Declan. But now it's an absolute, you know, it's a real mess. We don't know where we're coming or going. There doesn't seem to be a clear strategy. And the squad and everything about the club, it looks weak at the moment, Dave. And, you know, I try to always be positive, but the reality is we will struggle this season as it stands. We will struggle because, you know, as you said consistently, you know, through last year and even since we won the cup, you know, let's get it right. We were bad for most of last season.
Yeah.
We came really close to getting relegated. We were still in the relegation struggle with just a couple of weeks to go, right?
Yeah.
We escaped by the skin of our teeth, probably by virtue of there being some much worse teams than us, right? And what's happened since then is the squad has been diminished. We've lost our best player, our captain. We've lost some real stalwarts of the squad in the dressing room, like Lanzini, and he could be followed by Cresswell and Antonio. So the big voices, the leaders, all going. Two members of the coaching staff. It looks like a fucking crisis behind the scenes, to be honest. So I'm not confident, and I really genuinely think that something pretty radical has to change, and soon, not like in 2 months. I mean, within the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, there's a lot of finger pointing going on, Sam. Should that finger be pointed at one person in particular, or is it a share of the blame?
I think that you got to look at, you know, Sullivan ultimately is presiding over all of this. Mm. And, you know, he should be able to see what the problems are. The problem is, in my opinion, the problem appears to be Moyes. But then you got to look at Sullivan and think, well, why can't you see this? You know,
yeah.
A lot of us thought that Moyes should have been replaced last season. Okay, if he had been, maybe we wouldn't have won that silverware. So we can't, in retrospect, criticise that decision to keep him on. But to have had that discussion with him after winning the trophy, they had a sit down, presumably said, look, I'm bringing in a technical director or whatever. Are you happy with that? But then also to say, but by the way, you can stay, but I'm not extending your contract and I'm hiring someone to come in over your head on transfers. You know, there's a case there, arguably, for constructive dismissal, you know, potentially at some point. And I think, not to get too conspiratorial, that it might even be that these silly lowball bids for Moyes targets like 20 million Maguire, 20 million James Ward-Prowse, or even less than that, apparently. Like, I wonder whether or not that's Sullivan being able to turn around to Moyes and go, well, you gave me your targets, and I bid what I thought was fair, and we got turned down. So, you know, it's not my fault, mate. Which means he swerves getting into a situation where Moyes can walk away and then try and sue the club for constructive dismissal, which he could do by saying, look, they brought someone in over my head. They didn't get, they ignored my transfer targets that I put in front of them. They made my job untenable. Sullivan's walking that fine line where he's just about doing enough to avoid a wrongful dismissal case, you know, but he might be hoping that Moyes just walks away. Would he do that just to save paying Moyes out on 1 year's contract? I don't know. Maybe because he, we know from the past he doesn't like paying managers off. He does everything he can to avoid that, you know. So he might, maybe he's waiting for Moyes to walk away. I mean, you know, the fact that we've lost two senior coaches and there's like, what, less than 2 weeks ago to start the season, we haven't shown any sign of hiring a replacement. Are we struggling to find people? Do people not want to come and work under Moyes? Do they know he's a dead man walking? I think Sullivan's got to, you know, Sullivan's got to take action here. He's got to, it's the club that's at stake. So if he's not happy 100% with Moyes and he's not 100% certain that he's the guy to take us forward, he's got to take action now. And there'll be people, there'll be, you know, I hope he's not worried about people on TalkSport going, oh, I can't believe West Ham sat their manager after winning their first trophy in 43 years. Who do they think they are? Right. Yeah. Well, we can swallow all that. We know that will come our way. But Sullivan's got to be serious here. If he doesn't fancy the manager, he's got to get shot of him because he's not going to get shot of the German bloke he's only just hired, is it?
No. No, it's very true, mate. And it's a very interesting take. I mean, for me, I find it really confusing as to, you know, David Moyes has just won the trophy. So if you're David Sullivan, I think you've got to do one of two things. You've either got to sack him and then progress with a different manager, or you've got to keep him in the job, but give him a renewed contract. Because he's kept him in a job on a 1 year deal. That, to me, doesn't show that you have got much faith in the manager. So you've got to do one or the other, sack him or back him with a new contract, a new war chest, an absolute full backing of the targets that he wants. And it just seems to me that he's floating in the middle. And there are. It's getting to a point now where there are conspiracy theories around this now. And honestly, it could just literally only happen to West Ham. Only we could win our first trophy in 43 years and have the euphoria of that. And then just literally months later, being a crisis. It's the West Ham way, isn't it?
It's absolutely crazy. I just don't know. People slate Sullivan a lot. Right. I'm a bit more balanced. I mean, I can see he's awful at communicating with the fans. He's got a serious image problem and he's made some terrible mistakes, not least with the, you know, the way in which we moved stadiums and the way in which they've kind of tried to cultivate a match day experience at the new stadium, which I don't think anyone's particularly satisfied with and various other things. You can't get away from the fact, though, we are playing now in a 62,000 stadium that's filled every single week. We were in our third season in Europe. You know, we've just developed pretty much from our youth academy upwards the most expensive player in English transfer history. You know, this has all happened under his watch. We just won a trophy. So when people say, oh, we're the worst run club in England, I go, well, have you seen how many managers and crises Tottenham go through?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Tottenham are in almost a constant state of embarrassing crisis, right? Chelsea are such a badly run club, right, that they've just sold, like they've had to do a fire sale on their entire midfield this summer because last summer they bought a load of players and put them on 10-year contracts on silly wages. Apparently, their American owner was under the assumption until about March or April, I heard this from a good source, that Chelsea automatically qualified for the Champions League every year, and therefore the Champions League money was guaranteed. So he didn't think that financial fair play would be a problem for them.
No.
And when he woke up to the fact that that wasn't the case and they had to qualify and they weren't going to qualify, he had to trigger a fire sale, right?
Oh, God.
This was a bloke who apparently, on his second game in, was walking into the dressing room at half-time at Stamford Bridge with a bunch of family friends while Thomas Tuchel was giving a half-time team talk and saying, hey, these are my buddies from the States. I thought I'd bring them to introduce them to all the guys, right? So, like, We will focus on David Sullivan and all the silly and incompetent things he does. But let me tell you, there are clubs all over the place being run bad. Look at the Glazers at Manchester United. Look at the amount of money they've wasted and managers they've been through, right? There are messy clubs everywhere. And all I would say is, Sullivan is not the ideal owner. Brady is not the ideal sort of co-chairperson. That's all for sure. I'm not big fans of theirs. But there are certain things we can point to that represent progress in the time that they've been at our club, right? And so it's not all been doom and gloom, but at the moment, he had a big opportunity to build on where we were at this summer, right? And like everyone said, we had all this time to plan for, you know, replacing Declan Rice and moving the team on. And it's like, they didn't even hire the new bloke until the 1st of July. So we weren't even able to start setting transfer targets or strategies until he had his feet under the table, by which stage people like Harvey Barnes had already gone. They'd already halfway to Newcastle by then. So it's an absolute mess. You're absolutely right. It's a back him or sack him situation. He did neither. He stuck David Moyes in purgatory. And no wonder Moyes, if he's only got 1 year left on his contract, is going to want to go for experienced Premier League players. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Of course he is, because he's only got 1 year.
Yeah.
So if he'd been given a four-year contract, it would be much easier for him to say to Tim Slyton, yeah, great, go out and get these young players with potential, because I've got job security, so I can afford a couple of years to nurture these youngsters, blend them in, and then maybe, you know, like we'll have a decent season this season, then next season we'll get really good. He'd be happy with that. But with 1 year on his contract, he's like, no, I need veterans who are going to come in and hit the ground running, because I haven't got time for the same situation as last year where it took Paqueta, Agüero, Kera, it took all these lads, you know, 8 months to get up to speed. I can't afford that. And he can't afford it, because he'll be out by November if that sort of thing happens again.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It's so true. How do you feel about life after Declan Rice, Sam? Because obviously I know that the recruitment is crucial to the answer to that question. But just how much are we going to miss him, do you think?
Well, it's hard to see at the moment. I mean, he was the heartbeat of the team. He never had a bad game. It wasn't the same as when you got Dimitri Payet and he's the guy who's literally winning games for you, like every week. So it's hard to establish with a player like Rice until you see the team how much difference it's going to make. Because what I'm saying is, yeah, Declan Rice was, you know, no one would argue that he wasn't, you know, he was, of course, our best player by a long way for at least the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
But, you know, he wasn't the sort of player who every game, it's not like Harry Kane at Tottenham, where you're thinking, oh, you know, that earned us. You can actually point to the amount of points he earned you every week because he's a goal scorer and he's an assist getter, you know. So it's really hard to establish, is what I'm saying, how hard it'll be to replace Declan Rice until the season starts. But, if we'd gone out and we'd signed some players, not just in his position, but in other positions as well, I'd be thinking that, you know, this is still a team with a great amount of talent. To be honest, Paqueta, I thought for the last couple of months of last season, was better than Rice. Mm. I think he was our best player for the last couple of months. And I predict he'll be our best player next season. I think he is an extraordinary, I think we'll struggle to keep hold of him next summer if he carries on the trajectory he's on. Mm. And then you got Bowen, Benrahma. You know, there are good players in this team, but I think there's an atmosphere around the club at the moment that just seems doom and gloom. And you hear references being made by people about how there are a lot of people who want to get out of West Ham at the moment, you know, which is weird, considering we just won a trophy and all that euphoria we saw in Prague and then, you know, back in London the next day. You kind of think there was such a feel-good atmosphere, and now there's all these hints that people are just like rats trying to escape a sinking ship. So there's something rotten there. And whether it's Moyes or Sullivan or a combination of the two, I don't know, but something needs changing. And just on Rice, I just want to say to you, Dave, obviously I listen to you and X every week, and I'm often nodding along to your take on Declan Rice. I love Declan Rice, but, you know, I've said on New Irons, you know, everyone needs to get a bit clear on this, right, and not be too romantic and sort of misty-eyed about Declan Rice. We're in a relegation struggle, and he was talking to a London rival about moving there whilst we were in the depths of a relegation struggle. And that's just a fact, you know, and he's played a blinder PR-wise because he's got this lovely boy next door down-to-earth image, right? Which I'm not saying is completely untrue. I'm sure he is a nice guy if you meet him and his heart's in the right place. But in terms of his relationship with West Ham, you know, players have done a lot less and been treated a lot worse by West Ham fans than what Declan Rice did. And you know, I was away with my cousin, who's a Gooner, on the weekend the transfer actually got confirmed. And he said to me, oh, well, you know, you can't be too pissed off of him. He didn't put in a transfer request. I said, no, he didn't put in a transfer request because if he did, he wouldn't get his loyalty bonus when he left. I said, but he did worse. He more or less put one in. Because he made it clear that he just wanted to join Arsenal. He'd spoken to Arsenal. He'd turned down offers of huge contracts of 200 grand a week. So he'd more or less, he'd done everything but put in a transfer request. And what he got was, he got what he wanted, which he got to go to our London rivals, right? Join them. Plus, we had to pay him a loyalty bonus when he left, right? Which is a joke to me. So I don't wish him ill. But I will not be applauding Declan Rice. Do you know, I'm not interested in Declan Rice anymore or his career. You know, I treasure the memories that he created while he was at West Ham. But that's, you know, that's it. Declan Rice, you know, I know what he did. And he forced an exit. And not just to anyone, he forced an exit to Arsenal, who are a London rival, which I think makes it even worse, you know.
Mate, we are massively on the same page in that respect. And it's actually going to be quite nice to not talk about him anymore because I'm fed up with talking about Declan Rice, as I know you are. But, you know, when it comes to replacing Declan Rice, you can't replace Declan Rice at West Ham because you'll never attract a like-for-like calibre of player. Yes, he's light on assists. Yes, he's light on goals. But his actual overall playing consistency, you can't replace him. But what you can do is you can get three or four players for that money and actually become a stronger squad. And that's what we should be doing now. And please God, we do before the deadline. Where do you think we should be spending that money, Sam?
Well, obviously we need at least one centre mid. I would say that a lot of people are cynical about James Ward-Prowse. I think he'd be a really good signing because I think, I would like to see some younger players with potential brought in, but I think there's a balance. And I think we've lost a lot of leaders. We lost Nobes, then we lost Declan. Crest could still go. So these are like the players who have been the leaders in the dressing room for the best part of a decade, all going at once. So we need someone who's experienced, probably someone who's English, someone who's a leader. And James Ward-Prowse ticks all those boxes. Plus, you know, he will definitely get you a minimum number of assists every season because his dead ball delivery is up there with David Beckham's. So it's really, I find it baffling that people are so cynical about him. I think it's because a lot of the younger lads wouldn't buy him on FIFA career mode because on FIFA career mode, my son plays FIFA career mode nonstop and I sit and play it with him. And it's like, of course you don't sign James Ward-Prowse. He's too old. Right.
Yeah. But it's so true.
This is real life football, right? Yeah. And James Ward-Prowse is someone who, for 2 years minimum, is going to get you loads of goals by delivering corners and free kicks onto the head of your centre backs, which is how Moyes likes to get goals scored, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a signing that makes perfect sense. Plus, he's not expensive. Everything about it is a good idea, in my opinion. But then on top of that, I think that, you know, I think the team needs more pace. I think for a number of years, I've thought that we need two very good fullbacks. There's nothing against the ones we've already got. You know, I really like Koufal. I thought Tilo Kehrer played well at right back as well. I think Cresswell's way past his best, but he is an absolute legend. And I think Emerson was probably our best player in the final in Prague.
Yeah, I agree.
I would love to see two young, dynamic, attack-minded, very quick fullbacks, because I think the best teams have those nowadays, and we haven't really had those, anything like that. We've had no threat from those positions in a while. So I'd like to see at least players with potential, even if they're not going straight into the first team, signed in those positions. And I think, you know, we always need a striker, because we haven't had a striker who's scored like more than 15 goals in years, have we?
No.
And so whether Scamacca goes or stays, we need someone, and I don't know who that someone is, but we need someone who's going to come in and be a consistent striker, scoring goals, or at least doing that Antonio role going forward. I've always thought that Mitrovic would be a great fit with West Ham. He's another one that the lads who play FIFA are not going to get excited by, but Mitrovic is a handful. He's consistently performed in the Premier League for many years. He plays at a smaller London club who we could definitely pay more wages than. So it would represent a bit of a step up to him coming from Fulham, which is always good. I much prefer that than buying players from the bigger Champions League clubs who seem a bit gutted as soon as they turn up, right? I don't like that, right? Because they're never going to play as well when they come to us, because they come and see our porter cabins at Rush Green, right? Yeah. And they're like, oh my God, what have I done? I mean, we've all made job moves like that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't we just?
Right. I remember moving from Five Live to Talk Sport, right? And I saw the state of the toilets. Right. And it's like, you know, and you sort of think, I don't want those, but someone coming from Fulham. Plus, the other great thing about Mitrovic is, right, is he is clearly insane. And that is one thing that we as West Ham fans like in a player. Yes. We like someone who's a bit mentally unstable.
Yes.
Right? And that is Mitrovic. He's got a touch of De Canio's about him, mixed with a touch of like the Arnautovic, a little bit of Julian Dix. He's mad.
Yeah.
He's mad.
Yeah,
right?
We love it.
And he gets stuck in and he winds up opponents and he nicks ugly goals like Kevin Nolan used to do for us. And I always thought he's the sort of bloke, if he comes to West Ham, the West Ham fans will fall in love with him in 5 minutes flat. And no, he's not going to score. He's not Mbappe. He's not going to score us like 30 goals a season. Of course not. He might get us 10. But he's the sort of player who would fit in, I think, at West Ham. But it's not a link. I don't think he's been linked with us for a long time. I think if he leaves, he'll probably end up in Saudi Arabia. But that's just one of those weird sort of pet transfer dreams I've always had in my head.
Yeah, and it makes total sense as well. I'm a big fan of his, and when we was linked with him previously, I'd love to have brought him to West Ham, because like you say, I think we'd fall in love with his character. We've always loved a player that gives 110%. He wears his heart on his sleeve. We love that, and he's a good player. Not forgetting, he's a good player. Yeah, Fulham have got a good player there. Is David Moyes going to make this work, Sam, or is he a dead man walking?
I think he's dead man walking. I've been saying practically since the summer, since Prague, I've been saying I don't see him lasting beyond November, right? But I'm reassessing that. I'm thinking I was generous in saying that. I think there is a small chance, right, that he could go before the season begins.
Yeah.
Because we don't know what's going on, but there is something weird going on at West Ham at the moment. There is some sort of political situation, and I can't see... I cannot see David Sullivan asking a bloke who he's just spent ages trying to hire and is presumably paying quite a lot of money and was quite sought after, that, which is Tim Stuyton. I cannot see him sacking him within a few weeks. That's humiliating. He's just not going to do that. I think Moyes could walk. It reminds me a little bit of the last days of Alan Kerbishley, where there was clearly conflict between him and the board in terms of players and being brought in and out of the club. I think Moyes could walk and then try to sue the club for wrongful dismissal, or he could just be asked to leave. I think Tim Stuyton presumably has his own ideas on young German coaches who he could bring in and who he could work in good partnership with. And I think that might be the fresh sort of little reboot that West Ham need to take us on to the next stage. And, you know, we'll always be grateful of David Moyes and what he's done. There is no doubt that he has been one of our most successful ever managers. But things move quickly in modern football. It's not like the days when you just kept John Lyle on permanently, no matter what. You know, it's different. Moyes has been there for quite a long time by modern managerial standards, you know, across his two spells, and he's achieved a huge amount, but the club needs to move forward. And at the moment, it is in a, it's in a state of gridlock behind the scenes at West Ham, and that's really dangerous. And if we get off to a bad start, that's it. Then you're locked into another relegation struggle, and you're all desperate. By the end of September, we're all desperately waiting for the January transfer. We're looking into January transfer window already, thinking, oh, we've got to get players in January or we're going down. I don't think we can survive another relegation battle. I think that Sullivan's got to take action sooner rather than later. And if he doesn't have the balls to do it before the season kicks off, I think 3-4 bad results at the start of the year, that's it, he's gone.
Yeah, especially playing that style of football as well, Sam, which I think is important. I think I've said on previous shows, if we're going to play that style of football, which at times can be very negative, can be mundane to watch, and we're winning, everyone's happy. But if you lose playing that style of play, because I personally, I think it's logical to play that style when you're up against the top four or maybe even the top six. But when you're playing teams outside of the top six, then you should be playing attacking expansive football because we have those players. And if he's not doing that at home to Luton Town and we lose, the reaction is going to be 10 times harder than if we'd have lost playing attacking exciting football and we've had a go. Do you know what I mean? So
yeah, I mean,
it's a mammoth task.
John Nardo, that was what it was like when I was a kid. We lost all the time, but you know, you'd see people like Alan Devonshire, you know, just able to kind of attack teams. And that, and it, what was brilliant was you'd often lose and you'd almost feel smug about the way in which you'd lost. You're going, well, of course we lost. Because unlike most teams, we went to Old Trafford and we just tried to go for it. We went hell for leather and we come unstuck. But that's the West Ham way. But yeah, exactly. He's got very little credit in the bank, like Allardyce, the same situation. You've got little credit in the bank with the fans. If you're losing, plus you're putting on a miserable spectacle every week. You know, we could all be watching the Barbie movie on a Saturday for a lot less money. You know what I mean? And going and watching Moyes Ball losing to Luton Town. I mean, hopefully that won't happen. But, you know, Lucas Paqueta is a seriously good player. I think he's like, you know, I think this season could potentially see him develop into one of the best midfielders in the Premier League. But he's got to be thinking to himself, If his brief is to just basically sit behind the ball and defend, which don't get me wrong, he's good at doing. He's you know, he's a good defensive player as well as attacking, and he obviously doesn't mind putting a shift in. But he's got to be thinking, what am I doing here?
Yeah,
you know, him and Bowen are going to be thinking next summer, sod this, you know, relegation battles and just being told only to defend every game. I'm not interested.
No, you know, no. I would understand that as well. I would totally understand it. I mean, if we made no signings for the rest of the window and we went into this season with the squad as it is, Sam, who gets the armband?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really tough one. I think, I suppose, Agüero, but the only reason I'm thinking that is I think he captains Morocco and, you know, and you got to look who is going to be picked every week. You know, there's not loads of players now who are guaranteed starters. He's one of them, if he's fit. You know, Fabianski isn't. You know, certainly Cresswell isn't, and Ogbonna is very much like third or fourth choice. You know, Zuma's injured half the time. Suchek, I know, has had it for a few games in the summer, but he's, you know, I think if we do bring in a couple of central midfielders, then he will not be guaranteed his place in the team every week. So it's really hard to see. Bowen doesn't seem like a kind of captain character. Paqueta doesn't speak the language. So I suppose that just leaves Agüero. But even there, Dave, like we're doing a process of elimination. We're not going, oh, we got this. We've got such a wonderful squad of leaders. It's difficult to choose who the best one is. Instead, we're scrabbling around thinking, well, maybe that Moroccan bloke could do it. It's like Sunday
and we're talking about people on the street now, not even in the squad.
Exactly, who's turned up? Oh, it's like when it's a Sunday football and you're like, who do you reckon could play in goal? Do you reckon your mate could? Do you know what I mean? It's like that.
Yeah.
Going, maybe that Moroccan bloke, can he speak English? Well, I think he can say the basics. Yeah, let's give it to him and see how it goes. Bloody hell, we're champions of Europe.
Yeah.
We should be in a situation like this.
Yeah,
we should be trying desperately to sign bloody Maguire from Manchester United because we need to draft in a captain. you know, last minute. Because if not, Moyes doesn't know who's going to wear the armband and lead the team out in the first game of the season. Oh, man, what a mess.
And it's madness, isn't it? Absolute madness. Sam, it's always good speaking to you, mate. Thanks for coming on, pal.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you as always, Dave.
Right, X has an update for us, but it's a recorded voice note, so please excuse the quality of the audio, and also keep in mind that he is 8 hours behind us in the UK. So this news is potentially subject to change, as a lot can happen in 8 hours. But as we're talking about West Ham United, it probably won't.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.